When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 37 of the Rex Chapman Show with my Superdome homeboy from the L-Town, Josh Hopkins. How are you, Josh?
I'm terrible, Rex. I'm awful. How are you?
I'm terrible as well. Misery loves company, so that's why we're here. We may as well just get right into it.
Go ahead.
Just rip the Band-Aid right off. Kentucky lost.
First round
in the tournament.
15 seed to a 2 seed.
Yeah. I was somewhat fortunate in this regard in that while we were getting beaten on Thursday night, I think I was pronouncing Pete Gillen dead, who hadn't died yet. But
I saw that. That was fantastic. Oh, that was great. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Pete Gillen. Yeah.
When you came and said it, I was laughing. How'd that go? Okay, I'd like to know. You said it was during that you were whatever you guys call the head out, the period, the right. Going to commercial, and you said,
rest
the RIP.
Pete Gillen.
Yeah. How'd that go down once we went to commercial?
I think everybody was checking to see, like, is Pete Gillen dead? And then Seth said, Rex, is Pete? Then he thought maybe I was saying God Sham God had died, who I also mentioned in that. And I said, wait, Pete Gillen. I said, who am I thinking of? Oh, Skip Prosser. That's who I'm thinking of, which both of them coached at Xavier back in the day. And that's
right.
I also said, don't do drugs. 14 years of drugs. Yeah. Do that to you.
That was a great out of that. That was fantastic. The God Sham God was an incredible reference. That was, I was stunned until I was
right.
Like, oh, he just pronounced
years.
Someone dead on national TV. I guess that would, that would scare
everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone who knows Pete Gillen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've known,
especially
and
Pete
I've known,
Gillen.
Pete was at Five Star. He was a coach at Five. I know Pete since I'm a teenager. So anyway, I wished him. It was a great day. I've been thinking Pete's dead for 10 years.
Back from the grave. By the way, this is episode 37, a really odd number for, you know, so what this is.
There's hardly anybody. I had to look up some people. The most notable, I think, Meta World Peace 37 with the Lakers.
Yeah, that's great because odd number makes total sense that the
there's
an odd.
Yeah, there's probably some football players and baseball players, but
you know
what?
I do know one football player.
Who you got?
Sean Alexander, Seahawks running back for a lot of the time, right?
Okay.
And from Kentucky, didn't go to university, didn't go to any school, but from Kentucky.
That's a good pull. Very good pull, Josh.
Did you happen to read anything from book club this week?
Did not.
Me either.
Not
I hate reading. That's been book club.
We should go back to Kentucky because I was saying that I was kind of fortunate because that day in the studio, Thursday, Friday, they're killers. Like there's all these games going on and you can barely watch like a minute of something because there's all these other games and then we're going in and out. So every time I looked up, every now and then somebody'd go Rex, Kentucky. I'd look up there and it'd be a random score and I'd see the games close, but I didn't get to watch it or didn't have to watch it like you guys
did.
So tell me what happened.
Well, we lost.
Yeah.
That's it. No, I mean,
okay.
You know, it was one of those games we hadn't played well in so long. You know, we were what, like 3-6 or yeah. seven, you know, in our last games, and it just looked stagnant. And Oscar did everything he could.
Yeah, yeah.
No one, you know, Grady and Ty looked, they just didn't add anything. I think they're like 2-17. Like, I don't know what it was. I try and erase it. They didn't do anything. Nobody really did. It was just brutal.
Yeah, that was the feeling I got. It was so brutal that even the people in the studio were like, they wanted to make fun of me. And they were, and I was trying to let them be like, yes, guys, get your shots in. They were like sick. I think everybody also sick that Kentucky's out, because that sucks for the tournament in general. It, yeah. However, St. Peter's is the story. They're in the Sweet 16. And the other thing I'll say about St. Peter's is, yes, it was a bad loss, but they upset Iona to get into the tournament. Mm-hmm. And had we lost to Iona in the first round, that would have been really bad.
Well, right? It's still really bad.
It is. But St. Peter's, what I want to say, did you see what their coach said here recently? It was after that game, I think. Or maybe it might have been after their second one.
I've seen a few things, but what do you reference?
I loved it. He said, you know, people think they're going to muscle us. He said, I've got guys from New York and New Jersey. You know, that's what we do. We do that. So they're not afraid. Their guards were just as steady as they could be, but they've got a big dude on the wing, a big white kid that's like 6'8", 6'9". That's a matchup problem for not only us, but for whoever they just beat to Murray. And Murray's good too, right?
I know. They knocked out my two favorite teams in the whole tournament, back to back.
I don't think
that guy's going to be a matchup problem for Purdue. Purdue's giant.
Who? Oh yeah. Oh no, no, no. But no, he's a wing player though. He plays out on the floor. He can shoot it. He can spread it. We didn't have anybody that could guard him. You would think that Keon Brooks, that would be a good matchup for him. But Keon didn't really show up. I hate it. You know, and Ty struggled. But I said in the thing, I remember playing in the NCAA as a freshman. And Ty was much the same way here. Their whole game plan, because they know, you know, look, if we contain him and don't let him go crazy offensively, don't let him be the head of the snake and make Sevier Wheeler be that guy, they have a better chance of winning. They neutralized Ty. I know, I remember what it felt like being a freshman where, you know, you're out there and he much the same. He's slim. You know, he's not grown into his body yet, really. Mm-hmm. And when the opposing defense, a team of 22, 23, 24-year-olds, is targeting you and hitting you every time you come across the paint, and they're giving you, they've played more basketball than you have. And even if you're up for the challenge, at some point, you're just going to run empty. You know, he made a big shot late, which was huge. But again, I remember what that feels like, and it's no fun, man. You're out there and you're at Kentucky. You're supposed to win. Yeah. Pressure starts mounting, and what a brutal loss, right?
Yeah, you feel it as a fan. You're like, up here, that now, up now, it's just a half. Now they only got to do this for another half instead of, and now we're down to the, you know, fourth quarter, 10-minute mark, and they're right here. And then you squeeze into an overtime and you're like, well, the longer the game goes, we're better. We should be able to pull out, you know, and just didn't happen.
Well,
missed all those free throws.
We got to watch the very beginning of it, and you know, it was whatever it was, like 6-4. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, I could at that point picture the pace of that game going just at, like, we're not gonna run out of this. And then I look up at halftime and it's whatever it is, and I'm like, shit, this is how this game's gonna go.
Right. Brutal. And it did. It went that way. One thing, though, I did want to, I mean, and I am not saying John Calipari deserves to be criticized. He deserves for people to ask questions. He deserves for people to say this is, you know, not Kentucky basketball. Our worst season last year. And then this might be they're calling it the worst loss, you know, that we've had. I don't know. But he's at Kentucky. He better prepared for that.
We lost to Evansville and we lost to Robert Morris in the NIT. So that's pretty bad.
Right. And look, it's not for everyone. You got to be able to take this criticism. But the people just clamoring to replace Cal.
Idiotic. It's the
dumbest thing. Now, listen, you can criticize. He deserves.
Sure.
What are you talking about? He's a Hall of Fame coach. You can criticize the offense and you don't like what's been going on and the defense, whatever you want, but he's a Hall of Fame coach. If getting a new coach is just, it's a crapshoot. You don't know what you're going to get.
It's a crapshoot anyway, but at Kentucky, because that place is not for everybody. We've seen what it's done to Eddie Sutton and Billy Gillespie and even Tubby Smith to a certain extent, you know, and to Rick, you only have a shelf life of so long at Kentucky because it wears you out.
Yep,
yep. But Cal embraces all of the crap that goes along with being the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And that, you know, yes, makes a ton of money. We get it. Yes, deserves criticism when things aren't going well. I get it. But who else is there? And why do we want somebody else? We don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah. I forgot, like you said, Eddie Sutton. I mean, we didn't know what we were getting in Eddie Sutton. We know he's a fan. He was a fantastic basketball.
Fantastic coach.
Yeah.
But the spotlight and his, you know, he had issues. The spotlight exacerbated those and the pressure of the program damn near drove him crazy. So,
and I don't know, you know, what level of alcoholism he reached after Kentucky, but it was well noted after, and I'm sure inside the program at the time, that he had a real problem.
Yes.
And
yes.
You didn't know what you're getting. I mean, Pitino was just a godsend. How everything came together.
Again, a guy that embraces, like John does, embraces the stuff that goes along with being the basketball coach at Kentucky. Perfect and guy at the perfect time.
Hell of a coach. And he's had his, since then, some real problems. You don't know. You don't know character thing. You don't know. Then Tubby, who was a great coach and a great man.
Yep.
But we thought we were getting something else. We thought we were getting a Pitino up and down trapping. He didn't play that way at all. Ball line defense and high low. And it was, you know, we were like, what? I thought because he coached under Rick. Then you got the Gillespie just debacle. I mean, we thought, oh, here's this guy that raised, was it Texas Tech or that he came from? It raised this program or A&A, Texas Tech, I think, and raised this program. And I remember thinking, this guy doesn't have a wife or kids. He just eats and sleeps basketball. And he came there and, you know, you saw that it was a nightmare. So then we get a big winning hire again with a guy who can not only coach, but can be the mayor. And now people like want to run him off. He's got the third most of active coaches, third most wins in the NCAA tournament of active coaches. You go back to, I mean, it's a one loss tournament. You know, if it were seven, we'd have had three under him by now, at least.
Yep.
Then you look at recency you look back at Coach K who lost in 2014. He lost. He was a third seed, lost in the first round to I don't know. But in 2014, no, that was 2014. I had 2012 written down. Two lost to Lehigh, a 15 in the first round. There's ups and downs. It's a, you know, one loss tournament. Izzo lost to Middle Tennessee State in the first round, 2-15 in 2017. Tony Bennett, who's widely known as one of the greatest guys and best X and O's coaches, one that has done it all at a university that's not always known, you know, as a basketball program. And he lost. He was the only one seed to lose. And what was it, UMBC? I don't even know what that is. And yeah, they Baltimore lost by County. 20 points.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it happens.
It happens. I thought Frank Martin, you said all that terrific, Josh, terrifically. Frank Martin, I thought, said something. He said, you know, the hardest thing to, well, I had said, as a player, you know, and as a coach, the coaches do a big job during the week of trying to convince their, especially the higher seeds, that the numbers don't mean anything. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, guys, yes, we're playing a four seed. They're young brains and they don't quite understand. Frank Martin said the tournament, because it's a one shot deal, is all about matchups. He said, I go back to heavyweight boxing back in the day. It's why Ali could beat Norton and Norton could beat Frazier and Frazier could beat Ali. And it was that they were
styles.
They were different styles. And so we ran into a hot team.
Yep.
who's obviously better than a 15 seed.
Right.
They are. I mean, they're in the Sweet 16 at this point. And the longer that they played against Murray the other night, the more I was like, damn, I wouldn't have wanted to play Murray either, you know? Yeah. And yeah. We had a lot of what was it? We had guys who hadn't played in the tournament before, right? Most of our guys, or had they?
You know, Oscar hadn't, Ty hadn't, Kellen had.
Also, it's easier. Kellen had at Davidson, but when you're wearing that Kentucky jersey and things aren't going well out there, you know, and you're not used to that, it can, you know, it can have a weight of its own. And the longer mm-hmm. the game goes, if you're not up for that and you're not really, you don't embrace that kind of thing, that can start to make a difference.
And the games change and continues to evolve. But, you know, yeah. Ohio State lost last year, 2-15.
Yeah.
You look at, it used to be in your day, I mean, Kentucky was going to do well because they're Kentucky. Bring in a coach, they're at least going to get recruits. Yeah. It's changed.
Yeah, it's changed.
You know, it's about changed. The coach more than the yeah. program. Look at Indiana. They've relegated to nothing. They were all-time blue blood program. And yeah. now they've been bad for a while. Not bad, but not Indiana standards.
Yeah.
Quick, don't be so quick to run off a Hall of Fame coach, okay? He's done all right.
I'm all with right, you.
My bad.
No, that's all right. No, I like it. I'm glad you brought it up. Let's switch gears for one quick second. I didn't plan on talking about this, but I want to now. Let's go 60 miles down the road to Louisville. So Kenny Payne and I had exchanged messages. I've been kind of texting him here and there over the last 6 weeks or so since the job was open and whatnot. So he takes the job and, you know, his voicemail's full and we've traded calls and stuff. And then he called a couple nights ago, the day of the press conference, and he called and I heard his voice and I just started crying. I did. I it took me back to just
that dunk on him.
Yeah. It took me back to his, you know, us being teenagers, and it's not great that he's the coach, and he's the first black coach at the school, first black head basketball coach at the school. It's huge. Who'd have thunk that it would have been Kenny Payne? It's the greatest thing ever. That press conference he had, all of the former players being there. It's the perfect hire at the perfect time. You know, Kenny's not been a head coach, so all of that remains to be seen. I know this, he will get players, and Kenny will put a staff around him that that helps him and helps them. I'm so excited for him. I hate it for us in a sense. That's the only sense. Also, Kenny and I've done that before. He played there when I was playing there. So I know he loves Kentucky, and I'm just excited for it. I'm excited for them. It's been a rough few years. Chris Mack's a great basketball coach. He really is.
Exactly, to my point.
He'll end up somewhere back soon. But I'm really excited for Kenny.
Yeah, that seems like a home run hire. We will see. But yeah, it scares the shit out of me.
I know.
Because, you know, we've certainly missed him.
The Rex Chapman Show, powered by Basketball News, is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. It's daily fantasy simplified. It's just you versus the projected numbers, Josh. You can pick from two up to five players and an over-under on their projected stats for a single game and win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, Josh.
I like the sound of this.
Well, Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, offering every sport you can think of. Your Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. You can take the over on Ja Morant's points and the under on Anthony Davis's rebounds if you want. You can receive a match on your deposits up to $100 using our exclusive promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS for an instant 100% deposit match on up to $100.
So hold on, program code NEWS, N-E-W-S, like the news on TV?
That's promo code NEWS for an instant 100% deposit match on up to $100. Guess what else?
What?
Prize Picks has an award-winning, easy-to-use mobile app available in the App Store and Google Play. What are your other couple of storylines that you're looking at as the tournament progresses? You got a team you like, or are you completely just over it?
Yeah, I mean, I barely could watch anymore. It makes me sad. No, but I've been going out. I mean, you got to be so impressed with Drew Timmy. I mean, he's scored like 57 points in the first two games, and it's like 23 of 37 shooting. Like he's just been dominant, and just he's been a bucket. And he started as the, you know, player of the year favorite, I'd say. And it didn't maybe have that kind of year, but he's having it now.
I'm with you.
So good. Gonzaga's not your father's. Gonzaga.
See, Gonzaga, you caught yourself.
Gonzaga is not your father. It's Gonzaga. Now they've got not only all this experience and depth and the great coach, they've got players that are going to be picked in the lottery.
Yeah.
Maybe the first player. Who do you think is going to be? Who's your favorite of the three? You know, Jabari, Paolo, and Chet.
Ben Mathurin.
Yeah, that's
my pick. He's the best player. Benedict Mathurin.
Let me brag on you for a second, because last year you said it would be your favorite. Everybody was wondering, you know, debating Jalen, what's his name?
Oh yeah, Suggs and Suggs and Barnes, and who went number one? Cade Cunningham.
And they asked you on a show on TV, and you said,
"Big kid, Evan Mobley."
Is it Evan Mobley?
Yes.
USC
he's good.
Kid, and he's going to win the Rookie of the Year.
I think so.
Think he is. So, I mean, if you say that Mathurin is your guy,
He's the best player. I think this really will boil down like this year to and I'm not saying these players are like that. I'm saying a similar draft of like Olajuwon and Jordan, and when you've got bigs, Sam Bowie, that are these bigs, Jabari, Holmgren, and Banchero, their size and their skill. Just you go, wow, the person most ready to step into an NBA game tomorrow is Benedict Mathurin. 6-5, 6-6. I don't know if you saw how they went into overtime, Josh. Did you see any of that game?
No, I just saw they went.
Okay. Overtime. Well, he had a dunk in this game that. And he took over. He had 30 something. He did everything that you want and that you want a college kid to do late in the basketball game. Like if we'd have had, we just didn't have that kind of guy. Maybe Ty Ty's that a year or two, but it takes time. No, Ben Mathurin's good. The storyline that I kind of like is UCLA. UCLA was a first four team last year and went to the Final Four, which incredible. They're a four seed, I believe. Yeah. They're now back in the Sweet 16 with our guy Johnny Juzang, who went to Kentucky, transferred there, and they're playing Carolina. Yeah, this is
fun to see those jerseys on the same court.
I agree. And they're both kind of underdogs. Carolina's been playing so well that they're scary, but they kind of limped in the other day. They were up 25. Kid for them elbowed another kid and got kicked out of the game. And from then on, they just went down the toilet.
Yeah, I saw that. That white kid.
But they rallied to win. He'll be back this week. That'll be a good game.
That'll be fun.
Purdue St. Peter's,
whoever makes the other team play their style.
Yeah.
They are so big.
They're so big.
I thought they were going to be too big for us if we met. And they worried me all year. And I just can't see. I mean, St. Peter's is so much better than we thought. So well coached, has so many more talented players than anyone knew, but I mean, how many times are there just going to be offensive putbacks? I just can't see that happening.
Yeah. All right. Texas Tech, Duke. And I don't know how you feel about, I probably do know how you feel about this. I'm not going to be mad if Duke wins at all. I'm really not. I know we hate Duke as an idea, as a Kentucky basketball people. Mm-hmm. I've always really liked Coach K, and when we were growing up, like if somebody said who's the best coach in the college basketball, we'd have probably both said Dean Smith. Like Dean Smith, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. Well, for a whole generation, my son, who's almost 30 now, like that. Mike Krzyzewski's kind of that guy to this whole generation. I know people don't like him for different reasons, but I got to tell you, the guy's aces. He's a good one, and his players love him. To do what he's done for this long, I don't like Duke just because, you know, we're UK. I get it, but I like all his players. He just does things the right way. And I'm going to be sad when it's over for him and for them, but I'm not hating them going on and making a big run here. You?
I hate is tossed around in sports so much. I hate them.
Yeah.
Now with the internet and it's the vitriol is louder and deeper. People like, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hate, you know, who you hate is Vladimir Putin. I don't know, whatever, whoever. I thought, is Izzo going to be his last game? And I was watching that intently, and I respect the hell out of him and that what he's done and their program. But I hate him and I hate Duke and I hope they lose.
No, I'm with you. I get it completely. Well, our SEC has not fared well. We have one team left? Two?
Arkansas, one. Last team standing. Yeah.
Arkansas, Zags. Who you got?
Zags? But Arkansas's got some athletes and some players. They could – I wouldn't be like, oh, my God. I wouldn't be.
Yeah, I it was fun sitting in one day, 2 days we had Frank Martin and 2 days we had Bob Huggins, and they're both, Frank coached under Bob years ago. So they're tight and they know one another well. It was fun to sit in with them and just get their take on, you know, for us, especially asking about SEC players and, you know, all that. Both of them said JT Notae is a problem and for Arkansas, and that, you know, there's really nothing you can do once he decides he's ready to score. So
it's amazing. Little guy can just go.
Yeah. So just remember that. Gonzaga also has, you know, a couple of people they can throw at him from time and mix it up a little bit. And then obviously they've got the big guy,
Holmgren
protecting the basket. You know, I think Gonzaga, just because they have more guys, but I'm not going to be surprised. I love Jalen Williams at Arkansas. Big guy, leads the league, leads the nation in taking charges, can pass, can shoot.
Yeah. Can't believe he's not on Duke.
I know. Really. All right. So let's switch sides here. Houston, Arizona coming up. Who you got?
Yeah, I did. I watched the whole thing. Kelvin Sampson's gotten his hand caught in the cookie jar a couple times. Man, can that guy coach?
He really can. And if you think back, it was all bullshit. It was over text messaging to recruits. So dumb.
His defense looks like an amoeba.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is, like, same for Miami, who we'll talk about in just a second. They have, like, you know, they're not that big, but they've got like 8 guys, 6'6". And, you know, right. 215. And they're wildly different, but they're athletic. The thing that I like most about Miami and about Houston is that Kelvin Sampson, and I'm drawing a blank on Jim Larrañaga at Miami, that they know that they have the best athletes. And so they speed the game up, they press, they trap, they speed the game up to allow their better athletes to play faster and jump higher, you know, and do all that instead of relying on, you know, kind of your defense to in the half court to kind of get yourself going. They force the issue. They impose their will on you from the very outset. Much like if you remember 40 Minutes of Hell with Rick's Arkansas teams back in the day, you know, they demand you play their pace. And that's really difficult for anybody. It'll be difficult for Arizona, but Arizona has the thoroughbreds to run with them.
That's a problem when you play like that and then you come up with a team that's got more athletes.
Think about this. Okay, so we're going to switch gears to Michigan and Villanova. But, Michigan is in the Sweet 16 with a former player.
Coaching.
Juwan Howard. Penny Hardaway almost made it. Another alum. I'm looking here. There's two more. Kenny Payne was just hired at his alma mater. We've got someone else.
UNC, Carolina.
Carolina, and I believe Hubert Davis, and I believe Ed Cooley.
Okay.
Providence.
That is interesting.
Bit of a trend that I like. You know, dig back into your, you know how it is. You never know if it'll work, but right now the trend anyway is pretty cool.
What would, if let's just say out of the blue, Kentucky were to try and go that route?
I have no idea.
Nobody even, you know, but Penny and Juwan had been coaching in the league for a while, even when he was playing his last few years, he was coaching. And Penny did some AAU stuff. I'm sure he's coached that, more, see, but I mean, that was just a hire.
It was, but you can see there used to be a formula, or not necessarily a formula, but a path that coaches had to take. Right. You know, you had to do this, and you had to be at a back of the bench, and the front of the bench, and then, you know, and it, yeah, they did. They took Penny from AAU. That's where he coached. Mm-hmm. And he's gone through his lumps, and he's still going. He's taking his lumps. But he's grown this year. Juwan's gone through some stuff. He's taking his lumps. Oh, the other person that almost made it, Mike Woodson. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think that there's something there that you know, at least I think. Well, it's
cool. I mean, it's not at his alma mater, but Jerry Stackhouse, you know, that would seem kind of random. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of that is institutions think this guy will be able to recruit.
Yeah.
You know, kids be like, maybe. I watched him. He's my dad tells me he was, you know, he was one of the best dunker, you know, all this stuff. So that obviously helps when you're going to a living room with one of these kids. So there's not even a pro Kentucky pro out there that I would even, because it's got to be something really cool. It can't be like, you know, someone you know with, well, you know, it can't be like someone you know with experience. Like it's, you know, it can't be Travis Ford.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's got to be like a, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't either. We need to delve into it a little more.
I hope people that listen tweet you about ideas of who would be a cool former player.
I love it. Okay, so you got Villanova or Michigan?
I got Villanova.
I got Villanova too, but not going to be shocked. Okay, Kansas, Providence.
Mm.
Let's both say it at the same time. 1, 2, 3, Providence.
Providence.
Yeah, that's right on time.
You say how much you bench press, and I'll say how much I do. 1, 3. 1, 2, 3. 200. 400. That's Dirk Diggler. I forgot what his name was. John C. Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who
I'm taking Providence. I'm pulling for Ed Cooley. I love that guy. Not that I don't love Bill Self. I as much as we're supposed to dislike Duke, that's how much I dislike Kansas as an idea.
I like it. I'm a fan myself.
Also love their players. Yeah.
Did you settle on Miami over Iowa State since you were talking about them?
This is a battle of athletes
and a defensive squad.
Yeah.
Iowa State locks you down.
I think I'm going to go Miami. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that, but Iowa State has two guys that can really put it in the basket. But I think Miami just has, I don't know. I like their style a little bit better. Mm. Their Jim Larrañaga has been around forever. However, Iowa State's coach, brand new. A Wisconsin kid, that's going to be a good game.
This truly will be one of those, whoever can get the other team to play their brand, who can impose their will, if you will. Yeah. But that'll be fun to watch. And you had UCLA over UNC?
I've got, I'm taking UCLA. It's hard. I root for both of those teams. But yeah, I had picked UCLA way back when, thinking that they could make a run. I think my bracket is just atrocious, but I think I do. I think I have 5, 6. I didn't have Purdue or St. Peter's, but I have 6 of the teams on that side of the bracket, and I've got Houston, Arizona, Villanova. I didn't have Michigan. Didn't have Kansas. Had Providence, did not have. So, but that's
of those games.
Yeah,
Thursday and Friday to get to the Elite Eight. What do you think? Will name two that should be spectacular to watch.
Wow. I think the Duke Texas Tech game will be must see for many different reasons. You know, the Coach K drama and all that, but Texas Tech is good. Their defense is really good. He's a terrific coach. That one. And wow. I think Villanova Michigan is going to be a really good game. All of them. I mean, Arizona, Houston, just the styles, like we're talking about when you start thinking about the styles of these teams. But yeah, I think Duke, Texas Tech, and Villanova, Michigan will be close games. That UCLA Carolina game is going
to
be
good. You got to watch that just to see those uniforms on the court. Yeah. In Sweet 16. It's just,
I know.
You know?
And they're not like 1 and 2 seeds. We get them as a 4 and an 8 seed.
UCLA was picked, you know, in the beginning of the year to be there, and then they've, you know, been injured, and now they're coming back healthy at the exact right time.
They are, but their best player, in my opinion, Jaime Jaquez, who's been out all year long on and off with ankles, he turned his ankle at the end of their game the other day.
Did he?
And so, yeah, and was down, and, you know, he's got ankles like we have, and he if he's not himself, you know, then definite advantage Carolina. But it's going to be, he'll have to turn around. You could tell it was turned a bad one, and then he didn't come back in. And he's a gamer.
He's a tough kid. I love his game. If we were playing them, he'd be the guy I'd be scared of.
Oh yeah, because he just doesn't give a shit. He just plays. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Great footwork.
Not afraid of the lights.
Yeah.
You want him in your bunker, guy, and he's talented. You know,
Arizona, we talked about them last week about their point guard being out. He didn't play in the first game. He came back and played the second game, and he was terrible. Like, I think he was 1 for 9, but he was taking charges. He did that. But also what we said was they may have to use Ben Mathurin more, and they did, and he was amazing. Also, it took overtime for them to win against TCU. So they're going to need the point guard back, better health this week. I would assume he will be, having, you know, 4 days off or 3 days off.
Right. He, you're talking about the Arizona point guard?
Yeah. Point guard.
He's up and down erratic anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but to have your timing thrown off by missing some, you know, practice and being injured, I would expect he'll play better, but he's all or nothing so many times. I would expect them to beat Houston though, in a game of similar styles, but better players.
Very well put. The Rex Chapman Show is sponsored by Ticket Smarter. Ticket Smarter helps customers from all walks of life experience the power and excitement of live events by giving back through children's charities and creating helpful partnerships. $1 from every transaction will help our charitable partners, including St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, the V Foundation, Quarterback and Children's Health Foundation, and Coach to Cure MD. Ticket Smarter is the official ticket resale partner of PBR, NJCAA, and over 35 collegiate conferences with 250 plus universities, including the Pac-12. While I'm here in Brooklyn, I could catch a Nets game or any of the concerts coming to the Barclays Center. Buying with Ticket Smarter is quick, easy, and 100% guaranteed tickets. Find tickets to more than 125,000 concerts, sports, and theater events. Order now. How about this LeBron James character at age 37?
Wow, leading the league in scoring.
Leading the league in scoring, which, you know, again, there are some people that tend to hate on LeBron. I just don't get it. You know, in a year where Russell Westbrook's not having his best year, Anthony Davis has been hurt, you would hope that the best player, you know, on the planet, arguably for the last 20 years, would step up, and guess what? He did. And that's what he does.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he's having fun despite their record. And he definitely was in Cleveland last night, was it?
Oh, whoo.
2 nights ago, depending on when it airs.
Yeah.
But he put Kevin Love on a poster. They both they were both funny about it. Yeah. But did you see his head? He was eye level at the rim for that. I mean, he's 37.
Love it.
When I was 37, absolutely. I could barely tomahawk dunk really hard right on someone. Okay, barely. I couldn't. Yeah, on a Nerf goal, I couldn't do that when I was 21.
You could. On a Nerf goal, you could.
Well, not a 10-foot Nerf goal.
No, that's
right. True. On the door. You're right. On the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. It's amazing. That's another thing, just talking about the culture where you have to pick now because of, they have 24/7 news and 24/7 sports. And you got to, how annoying is it that if you say, yeah, LeBron, someone immediately goes, Jordan. And he said, Jordan, was just, LeBron, he's better. It's like, they're both so good.
No, they're both great. They're both great. Hey, by the way, did you see Drew Timmy's interview the other night after the game, after they won? Oh my God, it's an all-timer. He was so excited and happy and stuff that he was wanting to cuss. And they said, you know, tell us about that game. Said you had some choice words for the guys at halftime. He said, I just told them, hey guys, listen, you guys. And then he said, and then I told him, look, we ain't no soft guys. we ain't going out like no soft guys. And just
soft guys.
Soft guys.
Yeah. That's what he said.
You could see his thought bubble. It was just priceless. And then right at the end, he couldn't even at the very end, he couldn't even contain himself. And he was just like, it's good shit, man, talking to his teammate right there on camera. But he avoided cussing like three other times. He caught himself and then couldn't do it. It was so great. It was, I mean, typical March Madness, young brains. Awesome.
Yeah. I told him, we better get out there and give it our all, gosh dang it.
That's right. Dadnabbit. All right, Josh. I guess we'll meet up next week and talk Final Four a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of fun, as it always is, except now it's terrible and I don't want to watch a game.
Yeah, I don't either. I know. It's my punishment, too. Love you, buddy. Have a good rest of the week.
Good to see you.
You too.
I'll be watching you Thursday and Friday.
Thank you, bud. I'll be trying to not, you know, declare anybody else dead prematurely.
I hope you do.
I might. All right. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place. The Rex Chapman Show with super cool Josh Hopkins, powered by basketballnews.com.